Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and then 14. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And then verse 14. "But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them," to the disciples, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." One of the most difficult issues the church faces today revolves around marriage. Society has departed from the traditional and scriptural view of marriage and sexuality. And this has left the church to deal with the tension and conflict caused by this disparity. So here today in our text, the Pharisees raise the question to Jesus regarding divorce. Is divorce permitted by God? Now, if you think about that question, that seems like a question that was asked years ago. Today, questions in the church have moved well beyond talking about divorce, when it is permitted, and so forth. And now the questions revolve around subjects that were unthinkable even a few years ago. But even though divorce may not be a hot topic today, Jesus' answer to the Pharisees is especially useful for us. The Pharisees, in order to test Jesus, raised this question: is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? It seems that the Pharisees were out to paint Jesus into a corner. At the time, it seems there were two schools of thought regarding divorce. One was rather strict and conservative, while the other more liberal, more tolerant to a certain degree. And so the Pharisees were interested to try to get Jesus to indicate either one school or the other so that they could attack him. So Jesus answered their question with his own question. "What did Moses command you?" Notice he didn't say, "What did God command you?" And there's a subtle shift here. He's directing the conversation away from the law of Moses and directing it to the will of God. "But from the beginning, God made them male and female. What God has joined together, let not man separate." And there we have the one flesh that's talked about in Genesis. It seems clear that God's will for man and woman joined together in marriage, that there would be no room for divorce. That was God's plan. And of course, Genesis chapter 2 is before the fall. And after chapter 3, the fall, all that changed. It seems that the Pharisees were focused on obeying the rules and regulations, some of them from Moses and some from rabbis. And in doing so, they seem to have missed the point completely. Now, to be fair, in our reading today, we see the disciples, and it seems like they also missed the point. They were upset because these mothers were bringing their small children to Jesus. And so he rebuked them, and that word rebuke means exactly what it says, rebuke. He was not pleased with them. He was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Don't separate them from the kingdom. So Jesus uses these two scenes, one with the Pharisees and the other with his disciples, to teach about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is more than just following rules and regulations. It is entering the kingdom as a little child. This is the kingdom that has been prepared from eternity for those who have the gift of faith. It is not theirs because of the rules and regulations. It is theirs because of God's grace and his mercy. In this kingdom, all receive God's blessing, and that true blessing is the gift of life. Now, for the Pharisees, not sure if this is the same group, but Jesus took the Pharisees to task in chapter 2 of Mark. In Mark chapter 2, they questioned Jesus about his disciples. That was the time when they were going through the fields and they picked the grain. But it was the Sabbath. So the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Why did you allow your disciples to do what is not lawful on the Sabbath, to work?" And there Jesus taught them. It was not about the rules and regulations. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And what Jesus is pointing out to them: the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the core message in Mark of Jesus' ministry. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. A new day has arrived. The scriptures have been fulfilled with my coming. And again in Mark 7, the Pharisees pointed out that Jesus' disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. And Jesus goes on to teach them, "Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So the kingdom of God has now appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. He has broken into the world to bring about the fulfillment of the long promised kingdom of God. This kingdom is not about superficial rules and regulations, but it's about the heart. The problem with divorce is not about the laws of the rabbis. It's not simply breaking a rule or a regulation. It's about the hardness of the heart. For it is out of the heart of sinful man that flows adultery, physical and mental abuse, addictions, and so forth. It is the hardness of the heart that is at the very heart of the matter. It's the hardness of the heart that leads to divorce. Seeking to obey the law and all the regulations will not change the heart. Try as hard as you might, there's no way that you can overcome the darkness of the heart by your efforts. You can't cover it up. You can't ignore it. It's there. But Jesus points us to the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom that's built not on rules and regulations, but on God's grace and his mercy. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's at the heart and the center of Jesus' ministry. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, he continually addressed the Pharisees and called them to lives of repentance, but most ignored that call to faith and rejected that word of grace that he was offering. They would rather live under their rules and regulations. For them, they found their security and meaning. That call to repentance goes out to each one of us. It's a call to faith. It's a call to believe in the gospel. Turn away from finding security in following rules and regulations. Repent. Acknowledge the hardness of your heart and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross for your salvation so that your heart would be made pure. David wrote in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." With hearts made clean and pure by the blood of the Lamb, you were made members of his kingdom, that kingdom of grace. You were made a child of God in the water of holy baptism. Your heart was cleansed, made pure in that gracious water of life. For such is the kingdom of God. But beware. Because of the sinful flesh that still remains on this side of eternity, you will, not might, you will revert to the old ways. And sin is still there, and it may engulf you. But that does not negate the power of the gospel, nor the blood of Jesus Christ that continues to cleanse you. Continue in this faith. Continue to live repentant lives in Christ. Return here again and again to this sanctuary to receive absolution from your pastor. Return here to receive the sacrament given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And always, always remember your baptism. In that water, you have been made alive again to walk in newness of life. And also remember that faith in Christ and belonging to the kingdom of God does no way negate God's law. Faith in Christ does not do away with the law's demands. Instead, the kingdom, in this kingdom, the law takes on an actual deeper meaning. Now, on this side of the cross, the first table of the law simply says, love God. And in the same way, the second table of the law, which deals with the neighbor, simply says, love your neighbor. So the summary of the law simply is, love God and love your neighbor. This is the great commandment. The rules and regulations are done away with and replaced simply with the command to love. And what does it mean to love? We know God's love because he first loved us. For God so loved the world, and that means each one of us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love. These verses will always keep us with the proper perspective on this love that God commands. This is the foundation of our life in Christ. God loves us, and because he loves us, that love flows out into the lives of our neighbor. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through his gospel and the sacraments, you have been redeemed from the wages of sin and are part of this new creation that St. Paul writes about. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin, alive to God. And in 1 Corinthians he writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. As part of that new creation, as a member of the kingdom, your heart has been cleansed, and it continues to be cleansed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Christ, your relationship with God, the Father, and your neighbor is based on the love that God has for you. And the love of the neighbor, that includes those neighbors who are closest to you, your spouse, your family, your children. Walk daily as his new creation, for such is the kingdom of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.